The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
HEE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
No Dwight getting traded. None of the big names that were thrown out there.
Couldn't get a deal done for Dwight Howard. So Daryl Morey says, nothing was ever really close. A lot of teams coming to us asking about him, but it just wasn't the right thing. Give me a break, Daryl. Everyone knows Dwight was not a hot commodity. Teams aren't willing to take him on because they know he's going to want a max deal next year. It's fine. Just don't try to BS it.
As our country was really growing into what it's become, boxing, baseball, and horse racing were the sports. And now, that's not really the case anymore. And I think you can make a case that 30 years from now, soccer may be it because the whole landscape of the country's changing.
You can probably go in the Dominican and find 15 kids who want to play baseball any given day, and will go out in the streets and do it. Good luck doing that around here. Kids are playing Minecraft.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Jongi Football. At Degenerates 975, you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com. And a lot of teacher sex talk. Northside Mike says, college chicks aren't inexperienced, Fred. Get yourself a casting couch and watch the transformation. It never interested me even a little bit. And part of it is, well, like I said, man, I just gotten married and was kind of, you know, everything was still cool then. You know, now we've been married for a few years, but no, it's just not something that ever even remotely appealed to me. Mostly because they all look so damn young.
No, oh, I hate that.
I mean, no, like they look really, really young. Hey, some people are into that. I have friends who teach at college, and the only reason they do that is so they can hook up with college chicks. Because they have other jobs and they do it part time. At least that's how they used to. I don't know. I haven't talked to those guys in a while. Just not for me.
Good for them.
Hey, man, whatever. I mean, this is what happens when you get old. You like old.
Oh.
But 713-780-ESPN.
Hope I never get old.
Yeah, you will at some point.
I know.
I mean, there's some things I'm still very young about that I'll act like I'm 22 all the time on, but stuff like that, I try to be responsible. Is this the original hazmat? If it is, I got to get him on.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You're alive.
Yeah, I'm alive. How are y'all doing?
We're doing all right. What's up, Matt?
Man, I got beat for Cam Newton.
Okay.
You know what? He does not represent the league the way he should as an MVP. You know? That post-game interview was horrible. And I wanted to give y'all an opinion on that.
All right. We've talked about it quite a bit.
Yeah, I would refer you back to the podcast from the day after the Super Bowl, because I think we said all there was to say about that then.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad look, but people are going to like I said all along, if you're a Cam Newton fan, you're going to defend Cam. If you didn't like Cam, you're not going to like him anymore after that. Good to hear from old Hazmat, yeah. Former intern.
Yeah, who was famous for going to the Do You Know Who I Am card on Yao Ming.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess we should reset that story, because a lot of people, you know, knew, they may not know it, but he actually, back when we were over by Yao's, which is Yao still there? I know,
yeah.
There was one downtown. It's gone now, but I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's still there.
Because I haven't been back to that part of town since I moved. But they didn't deliver.
I like that place, Kosra, that's right there next to Yao's.
Yeah, that place is really good.
Legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still there.
Okay. Well, he called over there trying to get a delivery, and they said they don't deliver. And he said, but I'm with ESPN.
And they delivered.
And they delivered. And so we made, well, Dave and them made him write an apology to Yao Ming and to the restaurant and then go wash dishes over there. So, yeah.
Good times.
And,
Shame.
Shame indeed.
B. Hardy's already at Dave and Buster's enjoying a drink and listening to us.
Nice.
So,
I'll be there in about, hour 20.
Good cards to you guys.
Maybe hour 15.
Why are you going to? It's 5 minutes away.
I got to get, I think I'm going to have a smoothie for dinner.
Ah.
So I got to drive through Smoothie King.
You'll be there by 7:15.
Yeah. It's easy to get drinks at Dave and Buster's, but if you get there when I get there, it's hard to get food.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just going to, because like by the time I get there, they're ready to start playing and, I'm just going to play it safe and get my dinner in early.
Yeah, well, I think they'll have more people out there this week. I think they were a little overwhelmed last week. So you might not have problems getting food.
Maybe.
But why take that chance, right? Andrew posted on Facebook a picture of two guys about to throw it down right in the middle of Barker Cypress. Hashtag Houston traffic.
Nice.
Get video, man. Somebody gets beat up, that'll go viral. You'll be a YouTube star. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. A couple people saying that they won seats and can't make it. That's fine. We'll give it to somebody who's waiting in line. It's just, things happen. We get it. That's life. 713-780-ESPN. We talked a little bit of college basketball, and I asked you this off air because they're kind of flying under the radar. But another nice win for University of Houston last night, although Tulane's not very good. And I was asking, as somebody who, keeps real close track of this, more so than, you're kind of a Joe Lenardi when it comes to putting the field together. What would it take for University of Houston to get in the NCAAs? And because you look at they've got a couple of good wins, but they've also got a couple of just awful
embarrassing
losses. Yeah. Especially USF. You just look at that and go, what the bleep?
Yeah, there's not really an excuse for that. But it's going to be tough. I mean, as it stands, taking SMU out of the conversation, it looks like a three-bid conference. Temple is clearly one of those three. I think Cincinnati and Connecticut are in the driver's seat for the last two spots. The good thing for UH is they play all three of those teams down the stretch. So if it's close, and especially UConn, who I think is kind of borderline to begin with, if they can win at UConn, they could easily switch spots with those guys.
They've got Temple at home. If they beat them, they'll have two wins over Temple.
Yep.
They have at UCF, at UConn, and Cincinnati.
And Cincinnati's, another team that's just barely hanging in there. So a win there, at worst, could knock them out of the mix. But if I would probably say UH needs to win out to have a shot at an at-large, which I hate to say is unlikely, but it's unlikely. But they're playing really well right now.
Well, but they had that stretch where they were just awful for about a month. And then since then, for about a week and a half, and they've been really good. The only loss since then is Tulsa. At Tulsa, which there's no shame in that. That's a pretty decent team, too.
They're decent, but they're not a tournament team.
No.
And that's what the committee's going to look at. They're going to see which tournament teams did you lose to and which non-tournament teams did you lose to. And those are going to be weighed accordingly.
And I think they're going to have to win out and then still win a couple in the tournament, too.
Yeah.
Or win the tournament, which I don't think it's impossible.
Well, as it stands now, they're a game and a half out of out of first in the conference, and if they beat Temple on when do they play Sunday? If they beat them on Sunday. Suddenly they're right in the mix, and they've got games against, like I said, some of the legit contenders, and one game against Central Florida, which should be a walkthrough. So, they've got a chance to do something. It's just the schedule's tough down the stretch.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're good enough, those are games you win.
Yeah.
So.
And if not, then, hey, they can do some damage in the NIT.
Or win the tournament.
Yeah.
Win the conference tournament. Let's grab Worley. What's up, Worley?
Hey, sports, fellas.
Yo, sports.
Hey, I had a quick question for you, AJ. Tomorrow night, this Bellator fight, I know you said, I think it was yesterday or the day before, he was more excited about Royce Gracie fighting more so than Kimbo Slice and Dada 5000. But do you think it's going to be one of his old school matches where he's grappling on the ground the whole match and kind of making it a boar fest versus them, you know, doing stand up and, you know, going back and forth versus just nothing? And you basically see the old UFC. You know, and I think a lot of people want to see more than that. I think they might give more of an entertaining show, but I still think that that's his go-to and forte of fighting.
Well, of course. Okay. Listen, if you're going out to see Royce Gracie, you know, swing like Mike Tyson, you're in the wrong room. It's not going to happen. I do think that he's probably not too concerned that Ken Shamrock can knock him out. But that doesn't – I think eventually he's going to look to take the fight to the ground and try to finish him on the ground, because that's what he does. And that's what – you know, we've talked to him a lot. He doesn't even train – he doesn't train stand-up. I mean, he's competent as a stand-up fighter, but he trains jiu-jitsu every day. That's his style. That's what he believes is the great art. And he believes he can win MMA fights against guys like Ken Shamrock with just jiu-jitsu. And I'm sure that's what eventually he's gonna try to do. If you want to see people just swinging lunchboxes trying to knock each other's heads off, that Kimbo Dada fight is for you.
Yeah. Fortunately, you get them both.
Yeah.
So you guys are talking about the prison live show. New listeners have no idea what we're talking about. It's something that we threw out there. We'd love to do a show in prison one day.
Yeah. We've got a lot of listeners I know that are locked up. I would love to. I would love to.
I don't know who said it earlier, but we ought to do it in a ladies' prison. Dude, we'd be tens in a ladies' prison. I could go for that. I'm good either way, though. No, we'd love to do a show there. And, you know, we haven't moved forward with that, though. So, all right, we're going to take a very quick break. A lot more to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. I found this teamrankings.com thing. Projects UH to finish 21-9, gives them a 12% chance to make the tournament.
Okay.
Which seems about right. If they do better than 21-9, obviously that'll go up. But that's projecting their last few games. I was trying to find Texas Tech on here. I think they have them in the field as of now, but I may be wrong about that.
I think as of now, they probably are in the field, but
yeah, they have.
If they go 3-2 down the stretch, that puts them at 500 in the Big 12. And like I said, it would take getting seven teams in from that conference if they're going to put a 500 team in.
They have them going 2-3 down the stretch and finishing 18-12, but with a 66% chance of getting in.
If they go 2-3 down the stretch, there's no way they get in. That's unimaginable to me, because then they lost a game that they have no business losing.
All right, let's get a phone call. Jeff, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports, fellas.
Sports to you.
I got a quick question. You might have talked about it earlier, but with this being the trade deadline and all, Rockets not making any major moves. You know, it's kind of been a downfall for the Rockets, and I just kind of wanted to get you guys' take on where that began, whether it was last season losing or getting rid of McHale early in the season, which I didn't think was a good move. But I just want to kind of hang up and listen to you guys. Hey, and last thing, I'm a Lakers fan, so it could be worse. You could have passed on Moutier and Porzingis. So, hey.
Yeah. They did pass on Kawhi Leonard, though. So
yeah, that happens.
Yeah, I think it all started with James Harden coming in out of shape.
Yeah.
And then Kevin McHale said that. And from there on, you had chemistry problems. And, yeah, I don't think they should have fired McHale when they did, but they panicked. And that's the one move you can make to try to turn things around. Didn't work. So they're going to have to hit the reset button in the offseason.
The question, and I know what when Dwight leaves, it's going to open up room to have a couple of max contracts. But I go to the same thing. What max contract guy or max contract worthy guy is going to look to be playing with James Harden and a coach to be named? You know, they're going to look at this situation. This is not the best available situation.
No. And for coaches, too. And there's going to be some good names out there. There are already some good names out there that I kind of thought maybe you make that move at the All-Star break. But maybe they're also just, and this isn't really like less, but maybe it's because they're already still paying McHale all this money. You might as well get by on the cheap with Bickerstaff for the rest of the year, knowing it's not going to make a difference to bring in somebody else. And that's, honestly, I think we know that, right? It's not going to make any difference. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. All right, here's an ethical question for you.
Oh, boy.
Because we've talked about, all right, we're having fun with the teacher sex thing. Maybe we shouldn't have, but here we go. Apparently, there was a TV show. And here's the name of the segment. And I think you can probably answer it just by the name of the segment.
Okay. What am I trying to answer?
Yes or no.
Oh, okay.
Is pole dancing too sexual for children? And apparently they have a dance class studio where there's a pole. Three children aged 8, 8, and 11 then took to a shiny stripper pole wearing hot pants and belly-bearing tied-up shirts to show off their moves as the girls' parents watch proudly from the sofa. The show called This Morning.
What, I mean?
In England. She added, okay. She added, it's fitness. There's nothing provocative about it.
Depends on what the little girls are wearing. Can we go with that?
Well, they're, I mean, it's not, it basically, they're wearing these kind of really tight little shorts.
Okay, that's a bad start.
Right, and kind of
like stretchy shorts?
Well, just like really, like they look like extended
like
under.
Hot pants.
Hot pants, yeah.
Okay.
But one of the mothers
said, what are they wearing up top?
Like a white tied top with a bare midriff.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm against this, all right?
Yeah.
I have to say, because what's, as someone who has a daughter, and everyone out there who has a daughter, what's goal number one? You keep them off the pole.
Yeah.
You don't want them on the pole, right?
I feel like if they weren't showing any skin, I could say, okay, maybe it's an exercise thing, although
it's a very strange exercise.
It's a strange thing for little girls to be doing, but if you've got them dressed like strippers, you could kind of see why.
One mother said that her 11-year-old daughter compared it to competitive gymnastics. She likes to challenge herself, so why not? And another one said that her 8-year-old was bullied and overweight until she started pole fitness lessons. It's fitness. There's nothing provocative about it, she says.
Sure.
Well, they had to bring in a child psychologist, Emma Kinney, who said it was, quote, horrendous. I don't doubt for one minute that the girls keep fit from it, and I also don't doubt that the moves we just saw there were more pole dancing than pole fitness. I do think we are living in a culture that sexualizes children, but embracing something that, whether you like it or not otherwise, is an adult pastime and involves very sexual moves.
I'm kind of with her.
But the mom says it's adult minds that make it sexual. It's just children who want to do fitness on a pole. I'm sorry. That's too much.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with gymnastics? What's wrong with ballet?
Maybe this is cheaper?
I don't know. I'm kind of with the child psychologist. Ordinarily, I'm going to back. I'm not going to. I'm going to be against psychologists.
Right.
But this case, I'm with the child psychologist.
Okay.
And of course, we have a call on this, so we might as well take it. Ashley. What's up, Ashley?
Ashley.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, sports, Ashley.
I just had a comment on the pole dancing thing, because y'all had mentioned, like, okay, well, why do they have to be dressed skimpy and this and that? And my thought on that is because in order to do it properly, I would imagine, I don't have any experience, but in order to do it properly, you have to use your skin to grip the pole. If you're fully clothed, it's not going to work. You're just going to slide all around.
Well, is it wrong that I just think there are no exercises or fitness things that little 8-year-old girls should be doing skimpily clothed?
That's true. I mean, well, but whenever parents put their kids in gymnastics and things, they're not wearing much more. Even cheerleading, whenever they're in cheerleading, they have their belly showing, the super short shorts and things like that. I just think that the pole dancing, you know, in and of itself is fine. I haven't seen the video or whatever that you are talking about, but I feel like it would just all depend on the move that I guess they're doing. If they're not, you know, sexualizing their children, that's obviously frowned upon. But as far as like what they're wearing, I don't see how it's any different than any other active sport that children do, and that's fine.
I guess I would have to see for myself what they're wearing.
Well, would you like to see?
Yeah,
I have it right here on the
computer.
Is it
going to make me feel gross?
It makes me very uncomfortable, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, because, I mean, why not? I mean, leotards or something like that.
Those girls are wearing, you know, stretchy short shorts that are, you know, you couldn't, obviously they are, they're stripper shorts.
Yes.
They're wearing like dress shirts with the sleeves removed, tied up like right under where their boobs would be, and it's buttoned up to the top where they're wearing a bow tie. I mean, that's full on stripper attire. I do fitness,
I don't even like looking at this picture. I closed that browser as soon as you looked at it.
Yeah, I'm normally wearing workout clothes when I work out. I get
gymnastics and stuff, but even then they've got like those little leotards on and things. I mean, they cover their midriff. Right?
Yeah.
I think they do.
I don't know. What do I know?
Me either. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Come back. We got a little interview that you did earlier.
Yeah, Cody Garbrandt, who's fighting the UFC card this weekend, will join the program. UFC Bantamweight.
It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. What I could
never have. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock him in.
Joining us now on the program, to me, is one of the most exciting up-and-comers in the UFC today. Cody No Love Garbrandt joins us on the program. Cody, how's it going, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. How's the camp gone for you? And obviously, you get an opponent change kind of late notice. Is that and against a jiu-jitsu master, even. Has your fight camp worked to a point where you felt comfortable no matter who the opponent was, or did you do a sort of a specified camp for this?
You know, I honestly had the best camp physically and mentally I've ever had in my entire career. And so there was no hesitation, you know, when I found out John Lineker pulled out in the fight, that told my managers, hey, I'm ready to fight whoever they put in front of me. Tell the UFC, it doesn't matter who they put in front of me, just get me an opponent. I want to fight Sunday. And I feel great. I'm ready to go out here and do this Sunday and, you know, get this win and then focus on, you know, what's next in my career.
You're one of these guys who, I would assume anyway, your guy is a younger guy who came up doing mixed martial arts. You didn't have some sort of specialty that you sort of branched off from. When you started in the sport, you started doing everything. And this is clearly a specialist, is Augusto Mendez. Do you feel comfortable wherever the fight goes against him, or is this one where you're going to try and stay where he's less comfortable than where you are?
You know, I feel super confident in my skills. You know, I have one of the best BJJ practitioners and coach and teammates in Chris Holdsworth that we've been, you know, practicing and drilling and training together for quite some time now. So, you know, my ground game is definitely overrated because I can dictate where the fight goes. You know, no one's had to see my wrestling. No one's had to see my jiu-jitsu. You know, I can keep it standing where I like to have fun, you know, have fun, you know, in this fighting and standing up. But, yeah, wherever this fight goes, you know, I'm comfortable wherever it goes. You know, I know he's a world champion jiu-jitsu guy, this and that, but this is a fight. This isn't a jiu-jitsu match. Even if it's a jiu-jitsu match, I wouldn't be nervous or where it would go, you know. But, yeah, I'm super confident in my skills and, you know, ready to go out there and show them out Sunday.
Your striking coach, or I guess one of your striking coaches, is Brandon Gibson, who's a Jackson Winklejohn coach out there. Is it kind of strange having someone from outside of your gym come in? And is Uriah a little more cautious about things like that since the TJ Dillashaw thing went down? Or was this something that everyone seems to be comfortable with?
Yeah, everyone's super comfortable with it. You know, we brought Brandon Gibson out to the Ultimate Fighter. He, you know, helped us coach on the show. We just brought him out a few weeks ago during my camp, and he taught class at our gym. You know, Brandon's a great guy. You know, he's not trying to sabotage the gym or take fighters from our gym. You know, so you know, we have a good relationship. You know, Brandon Gibson and Kim Alpha have a great relationship together, and it's nice to be able to, you know, learn off of Brandon and have him on my side, along with Justin Buckles, Chris Holdsworth, and Danny Castillo, who are the newfound coaches on Team Alpha Male.
You know, there was I guess it was kind of public information that you were dating a teammate and another UFC fighter, Paige VanZant. Was it awkward when that stops? I mean, what's it like in the gym when two teammates technically sort of end a relationship?
No, I mean, it wasn't. I don't really look at it like that. You know, we had our little fling or whatever, you know. And, you know, going into it, we're like, hey, our careers come first. So that's where it was with the whole thing. Like, I wanted to focus on more on my career than, you know, I felt like I had a lot of distractions in my last camp. That's there's no hard feelings. It's not weird, you know, it's nothing.
Do you feel, I mean, you're 2-0 now, this would make you 3-0 in the UFC. How far up the ladder do you feel you are, and how close do you think you are to a title shot? Because a lot of people think that you're getting closer.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm ready for whatever the UFC wants to, you know, gauge me on. How they want to move me, but I'm going to stay busy this year in 2016. Feel confident fighting whoever in there. You know, I train hard. I'm dedicated to the sport and the lifestyle of what it takes to become a champion. And, you know, I know my time will come, but I'm not going to sit back and wait for it. You know, but, you know, when I get opportunities, I'm going to take the opportunities, run with them. And so whenever the UFC wants for me, you know, next after this fight, but like I'm focusing on Augusto Mendez, taking them out Sunday, and then we'll go from there. You know, we'll see what's next for my career.
What Lineker is, I think, the 11th, 12th ranked bantamweight, and this would have been the highest ranked guy that you fought. Is a little disappointing that you don't get a guy who's higher up on the ladder than you that you maybe could have taken some steam from.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of stuff to take from this fight. So I was very super excited and motivated to fight him, but now I'm even more motivated to fight because it's like, hey, I'm taking this fight on 6 days' notice. So is he, but you know, it's I could have been off the card, and, you know, all this stuff. But you know, I'm very, very. I'm just excited to fight, man. It's been a while. I've been hungry, to get back in here and just, you know, show my dominance and pose my will on someone and keep climbing that ladder. So whoever, you know, like I said, I'm just glad to be able to fight. You know, blessed with this opportunity that the UFC has given me to fight so close to home. And you know, with the withdrawal from John Lineker and then finding me a replacement so fast, just very thankful, you know, just focused on what I have to do on Sunday to get this win.
All right, you can see February 21st, that is on Sunday night, you'll see UFC, what are they calling this thing, Cody? Is it UFC Pittsburgh is what I keep seeing it hashtag as?
UFC Fight Night 83.
UFC Fight Night 83, which will be in Pittsburgh. Cody Garbrandt taking a BJJ world champ on 6 days' notice. I think it's going to be a fantastic challenge for you. Best of luck to you in this one and for the rest of 2016. I always look forward to seeing you fight, and this one's no different, my man.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, man. Have a good day.
All right, my pleasure. That's Cody Garbrandt. The headliner on that event is Donald Cerrone and Alex Oliveira, so it should be a good one.
All right. And then, of course, tomorrow we have the Bellator fights here in town. And we'll be at Toyota Center. And
what's going on with us? Yeah. Are we going to be, is it going to be set up like we do when the UFC's there, like for weigh-ins, just be...
I don't know. John,
on the ground course?
Yeah, that's what we were told, was that you guys were going to kind of have center stage when people walk in and out, and you will be kind of on the floor.
Cool.
Do we need like credentials or anything?
No. You should be fine.
Okay.
We're probably going to have to get some. I mean, we'll go through the media entrance.
We'll talk our way in, I'm sure. Done that before.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool.
I mean, they'd know that we're going to be there.
Right.
Oh, okay. But I've had that before where we've gone and...
Won't you just be like, you know who I am?
I don't do that, John. I don't play that card. I'm not important enough for that. I don't even have 10,000 Twitter followers.
Almost.
I'm 11 away.
You're going to get there.
2 or 3 years from now. All right. Well, it's my problem is if I've started blocking so many people.
Oh, trust me.
I'd have been there a long time ago. Hey, guys, I got to tell you, to kick off spring with Gal Media on the golf course, we're playing at Sugar Creek Country Club on Monday, February 29th. And this is such a great deal. You need to get in early because these spots are going to fill. You get for just $50, green fees, golf cars, lunch by Burritos, dinner by Blake's Barbecue and Burgers, beer, water, snacks, goodie bag. $50.
That's a deal.
Spots are very limited, so get yours now. Here's how you do it. Do it today. Don't mess around. Call Michelle at 713-479-5346 or email golf@galmedia.com and say, hey, I'm bringing my friends. We're going to win this damn thing. We're going to pencil whip everybody to death. That's what we're going to do. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's officially baseball season. The Rice Owls open their season with a weekend series against the Arizona Wildcats tomorrow. The first 1,000 fans at the ballpark will receive a schedule magnet. First pitch is at 6, and tickets start at just $15. Log on to RiceOwls.com to get yours now and see the Owls in their quest for the 21st straight conference championship. Just on the break there, I picked up, I'm now 6 away.
You're going to hit it. I told you.
Well, thank all the new followers here. So, all right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
All right, let's, as you know, Kanye West is $53 million in debt. Well, good news. He's been offered a job. Pizza Hut has offered him a job, and this is great. They've jumped in to help him out. They said, you know, if Zuckerberg doesn't come through with the cash, then we've got you. You can start at 9 a.m. tomorrow, they said.
Jeez.
But even Pizza Hut knows that you can't hire someone after or before you catch a glance at their resume. So they said, "We're sorry, Kanye, we just can't accept this. Please give us a call." And then they posted the resume of Kanye West. Skills include rapping, fashion design spelled F-A-S-H-I-E-N design, keeping straight face, being the greatest, album cover design. So these are good things. References: God, Kanye, Kim, Northwest. Taylor Swift crossed out, which is no longer a credible reference. We've talked before about the possibility of a Sons of Anarchy prequel series. Looking more and more like that's going to happen, and Charlie Hunnam, who played Jax Teller, recently told Men's Journal that he would love to see a prequel happen. He added, Kurt Sutter's trying to get it going, and Brad Pitt may be playing John Teller. On the possibility of the prequel happening, Hunnam said, I'm not sure when it would happen, though. He's got another TV show he's working on. He had that Bastard Executioner thing, and that lasted a season. He said, I don't know if he needs me as a lead actor on that, too. I love that guy, but it was hard for us to work together sometimes because we're both crazy bleeps. Kurt and I never blasted each other in the face, but I'll say it got close. There's been security rushing onto set and pulling us apart before. So, Sutter explained previously that the prequel would begin during the Vietnam War and take the form of a 10 or 12 episode limited series.
I would take Charlie Hunnam in that fight.
I think I would too. He's also working on a completely entirely separate Sons of Anarchy spinoff series featuring the Mayans, which were the motorcycle gang that was kind of pitted against the Sons in the show. I don't want to get into this too deep, but you know who Henry Cavill is?
I'm familiar with the name.
That's the guy who plays Superman.
Okay, yeah.
He's in the Superman vs. Batman movie.
I thought it was Cavill. But...
Cavill, maybe so. 32 years old. His new girlfriend, 19 years old. Is that weird?
A little bit.
I don't know. He said that despite their age difference, they still find plenty to talk about. People say age is just a number. It's actually real and true sign of someone's maturity, he says. But in this case, she's fantastic. When I met her, I was super intimidated. I wanted to impress her. I mean,
you're Superman, dude.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that hard. She's 19.
Yeah.
I was thinking, don't mess this up. While he's completely comfortable in the relationship, he admits that he understood the natural reaction to the couple's age difference, adding that he dated older women before. He said when he was 19, he was going out with a 32-year-old. And she taught him things that he can't mention in this story. So, 32 and 19. And finally, Rico Strong, who is a porno star, had to go to the emergency room. He said, this is some crazy bleep, y'all, he said on video on Instagram, panning the camera across the hospital room before angling it towards a bulge in his pants. My bleep's been hard for 19 hours. Pray for the kid. I'm going under anesthesia, spending the night here. Got to get my bleep drained.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so his experience revealed a little talked about problem in the adult industry, the use of drugs like Caverjacked to achieve long-lasting, powerful erections, and the unsexy problems that abuse of these injections can cause. And apparently it's becoming sort of an epidemic in porno. These things, like the shots, go for about $500 for a 500-milliliter vial, and that'll get you about five shots worth. It's a very potent drug with serious side effects. It's become more widespread today than it was 10 years ago, but still no performer will ever admit to using it. So no one's admitting to this, but
so
apparently
this is like
it's a big
steroids
issue.
For porno.
It's penis steroids.
Okay.
So it's a big problem, Fred. I warn you to stay away, even if the money's right.
We'll have to turn down that offer I have then, because I don't really want to spend $500 on penis steroids.
Well, there you go. That is Hoffman on Hollywood.
I'll throw one more in there for you. Remember John Scott, the hockey guy who... Apparently, they're going to make a movie about it. He was hoping that Liv Schreiber would play him. If you remember, Liv Schreiber played in Goon and was... really good, but apparently there is a movie in the works now, and they're trying to do it very quickly to capitalize on what happened. So there you go. Just threw that in there. We got time to squeeze on a phone call? All right, let's get Courtney on. Wants to weigh in on pole dancing. I knew I shouldn't have brought this up today, but oh well. What's
all
up,
right,
Courtney?
Sports, Courtney.
Hey guys, sports. I just wanted to talk about the little girl. I think people need to be using common sense these days. Like, I'm a single mom. My daughter's really young, and I would never dream of letting her participate in a pole dancing exercise class. There's a multitude of ways for your children to exercise, and you have to think of perception. Like, perception is everything. And pole dancing is really a sexual act that a grown adult woman should be participating in, not young children. So,
I agree.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. And you guys have a great night.
If you're going to get your kids into sports at an early age,
gymnastics is fine.
Go with something that could get her a college scholarship.
Well, swimming.
I guess. Well, I guess technically stripping is sort of a scholarship. I mean, there's.
Well, maybe.
It's a way to earn money for college.
I just remember from the times I did go, they were all working their way through college. So I guess that is a scholarship.
These are life skills.
Basketball, volleyball. I mean, you can get
Title IX gives females a lot of opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise have. But I don't think pole dancing is going to be recognized by the NCAA anytime soon.
Well, texter saying, you know, there's sickos at home watching that video.
Oh, I'm sure.
And yeah, that's I don't even want to think about that. That's not how I want the show to end. But that's how it has to end. Yes. But tomorrow we'll be live from Toyota Center. Coming up next, the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas. Love those guys. They do a great job. Coming up at 7 o'clock in just a few moments. All right. Want to thank Jong Lee. Great job today, Jong. Great job today, AJ. I've really got to start getting here on time. That's just a requirement from now on.
I think it's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. Well,
you're going to hit 10,000 followers on Twitter tomorrow.
And I'm going to walk the 8 minutes to Toyota Center.
And you're going
to
make it on time.
All right. Stay sportsy, bitches.
Hey, Houston, what's up? This your boy Kimbo Slice from Bellator MMA, and you are listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.